In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christ is risen. So, I shared this week. I heard this, there was a back and forth between an atheist and a Christian. And the atheist was saying, I have a hard time when you say Christ is risen. It doesn't make sense grammatically. Why would you say Christ is risen instead of Christ rose or Christ has risen? But Christ is risen is different. And so the Christian responded in a very beautiful way. And this is our belief. This is our understanding. He said, Christ rose from the dead. That's a historical fact. That's history. That's a fact. That happened. But that's not what our faith is based on only. It's not about a historical fact. It's about that Christ is risen right now, today, every day in our life. And there's this understanding of being a Christian is when we really understand what it means that Christ is risen right now. Christ is alive right now. And this gospel today points us to that. Because this gospel starts off with our Lord saying that he is the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. And what bread is he talking about? As we know, this is foreshadowing the Eucharist. This is him explaining to us the body and blood of Jesus Christ. His body and his blood. He's explaining to us the Eucharist from John chapter 6. This is after he just fed them the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Everybody was hungry. He fed everybody. But then he came out and said, I am the bread of life. He who eats of me will never hunger nor thirst. He was trying to differentiate between regular food, food that of the world, and food who is Christ. And so I think there's, if I have to point to what is the biggest difference between the apostles and disciples and the people who are with Christ and us now, I think that the biggest difference is our unfortunate lack of understanding of the Eucharist, of communion. I think we get into the habits and the ritual mentality of, I have to come take communion. Why? Because if I take communion, God will bless me. I have an exam, so I have to come take communion. If I take communion, God will bless me. I'm going through a tough time. I have a tough decision. Let me go take communion and things will be better. We turn Christ into a magician sometimes. We say that, you know, we want him to just do something. Fix this problem. Instead of looking at communion as truly him, the risen Lord, truly eternal life. If we do that, things will be different. If we actually see him as who he is, that's, I think, the difference between a person who lives a saintly life and a person who doesn't. It's the way they understand the Eucharist. And so as we go through our daily lives, how do we look at the Eucharist? How do we look at communion? The first thing is to understand that it is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's not symbolic. It's not like the body and blood. It's not one of those things that's like, let's reenact. Like on the feast day, the Feast of the Resurrection, we do a little skit here. We do a play. That's the reenactment. It's not really, we're just making believe that we're in front of the tomb and the angel and like God. It's a play. That's not what this is. We are partaking of of truly of Christ's body and blood. And so if we do take it this way, if we truly believe that this is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our life would look different. The way we come to church would look different. The way we talk in church, the way we dress, the way we react after we take the body and blood. All of this would change because we are taking Christ, the risen Lord, inside of us. And so today I just want to talk about some aspects of the Eucharist. The first thing is we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared to take the Eucharist. Anything that we do in life requires preparation. Everything. Whether it's school, work, a party, anything, any event that we're doing requires preparation. Because of the importance of that, preparation is based on something's importance. So, for example, if you have a big exam, an exam that will determine different aspects of your life, or a big project at work, you're going to dedicate more time in preparing for this thing. But if it's something that doesn't matter, it doesn't count, you might not prepare at all because it's not important. If we look at the Eucharist as something important, as Him who is eternal life, then our mentality changes. So what does it mean to prepare? It means that we have to empty ourselves before we fill ourselves up. Like if you're preparing to go to a buffet, we stop eating hours before because we need to make sure that we make the best out of it. You're going to a buffet, of course, during the Holy 50, it's all about buffets, right? You're eating as much as you can. But you have to plan for it. You prepare. You say, okay, I'm going out to this place at night. I'm just not going to eat today. I'm going to save it all up so I can fill myself up. We have to empty ourselves in order for Christ. That's why the church implements fasting. This idea of fasting is supposed to be helping us to prepare for communion. It's not that God is sitting there with a watch and looking at the exact time. It's a mentality. If we just start, let communion be the first thing that enters your body. That's a physical preparation, right? The fasting. It's a physical preparation. The last thing we eat is before we sleep, and then we don't eat or drink anything until we take communion, and then everybody rushes to get their coffee so they can function. But before that, this is what it's about. But there's more than just a physical preparation. There's a spiritual preparation. Where is my heart when I come take communion? Am I able to take communion, or should I be taking communion if my heart is elsewhere? If my heart is filled with something else? It's the same as if you go to a buffet full. Doesn't make any sense. So what things are in our heart that we need to kind of remove before we take communion? The fathers teach us about the concept of forgiveness. Are you holding a grudge against someone? Are you holding a grudge against someone? Has somebody really upset you that you can't let go of? The church in its beauty adds the prayer of reconciliation right after we pray the creed. We pray the prayer of reconciliation. Abuna's going to pray it. It's reconciliation between us and God and us and others. To kind of say, this is the goal of this. Before I can move forward, I need to reconcile. I need to reconcile between me and God and reconcile between me and others. This is why that prayer ends with a kiss, a holy kiss. Why? It used to be that everything would stop and whoever had any issues would go and clear those issues out before they take communion. Because we have to empty ourselves in order to fill ourselves up. It's important to examine yourself before you're taking communion. St. Ignatius, he's from the first century. And a lot of the first century fathers speak very clearly about this specific topic. About, he says that communion is the immortal medicine. The medicine of immortality. Why? Because the way that we live without communion with God is mortal, is a life that is going to end. Instead, St. Ignatius says, when we take communion, this is the first century fathers that lived this, that experienced this, that understood it. And they said, he says that this is immortal. St. Athanasius says something beautiful. He says, in the time of passion, of which our Lord died for us, for our Passover, Christ is sacrificed. Therefore, because he was sacrificed, let each of us feed upon him and partake of his nourishment with eagerness and diligence. Partake of him, of his nourishment with eagerness and diligence. As we prepare, we need to also think about where is my heart? Where is my heart? So, examining ourselves. The second thing is participation. So the first thing is preparation. Second, participation. When we come to communion, when we come to the liturgy is the work of the people. It's all of us working together for our sanctification that starts in the beginning of the liturgy and continues into communion. It requires all of us to participate. Now, if you tell me, oh, Abuna, like, I never participate and I take communion, that's fine. But that's on you. Then we're not really truly taking the body and blood of Jesus Christ. If we don't understand that it's the body and blood, if you don't participate in it, like the liturgy was broken down and set up in a way where it requires participation. If you notice the parts, it says priest, deacons, or deacon, the people serving in the altar, and then people. So it requires all of us to participate. And this is what the Eucharist is about. Our participation in Christ for our sanctification. When we enter into the church, it's as if we enter into heaven. When we enter into the church, it's as if we enter into heaven. That's why Abuna, the first thing he does at 8 a.m., he opens up the veil, and the first thing you see is the icon in the back. The icon in the back of the liturgy is called Hodn al-Ab, or Bosom of the Father. It's now we are in the bosom of the Father. Once we open the veil, we're in heaven. It might not feel like heaven. But that's what it should be. It's our fault that it doesn't feel like heaven. It's we go and ruin it. We're the ones ruining heaven. But instead, if we look at it in a different way, then I come to church differently. I visited other Orthodox churches, and before they even enter into the church, they take off their shoes. Why? Because it's a mentality thing. Things are different here. There's some churches that you will never see a cell phone out. But here, everybody has their cell phone out. It's a different mentality. But if we look at Christ, if we truly believe that this is Christ on the altar, things will be different. The next is protecting the body and blood that you take. What happens right after we take the body and blood? Now you become a temple. You become an altar. You become a holder of Christ. God, the King of Kings, The God of gods, God is inside of you. Not symbolically, not in a fairy tale way. No, the one who we read about, the one who does all these miracles, is actually inside of us. We take his body and blood. If we take that, we're going to protect it. If somebody gives you something very, very valuable, something very valuable, and says, here you go, this is for you, the first thing you're going to want to do is protect it. You're going to protect it. How do you protect the body and blood? Unfortunately, we've turned the protection into the body and blood into a physical protection. Don't walk around barefoot after communion, or don't jump in a pool, or don't chew gum, or that's all nonsense. That's because we're thinking about protecting in a physical way. It's not a physical protection at all. It's a spiritual protection. How does your life change after you take communion? Is your life one step closer to sainthood? Is your life one step closer to eternal life after you take communion? And that's only we can answer. This is why the church encourages confession. This is why the church encourages examination of yourself. That's why the church encourages coming early to receive the absolution that happens when there's five people in the church. These are the things that the church is trying to help us. Yes, it's hard to prepare. Let me help you. I'll help you prepare. You haven't confessed in a long time? That's okay. Come early. We can work on the confession part later. Just come early. Come take communion. And this is what this is about. If we look at what the disciples did, they received communion and then they went out and showed Christ to others. Like, they took Christ and then they shared Christ. Not shared Christ by talking to everybody about Christ. No, by being Christ. By asking about people, by checking on people, by smiling, by giving somebody who needs a hug a hug, giving somebody who needs just to check on how people are doing. We live in a broken world, and we're all broken. And it's important for us to show Christ to others. As we go through these holy 50 days, it's a feast. It's a celebration. But it's a celebration of Christ. There's a story that I love so much, and I'll end with this. There's a story from the Gospel of Luke. It's the last chapter in Luke. It's right after the resurrection. Okay? Right after the resurrection. And as we see in the resurrection, Christ rises, Christ is risen, and then the St. Mary Magdalene, and he will go to the apostles, all that stuff. But then there's this story about two disciples going to Emmaus. These two disciples, one tradition has it, it was St. Luke, the gospel writer, and Cleopas. And they're walking, and they're leaving Jerusalem. Okay? They're leaving Jerusalem. And as they left, they're walking away. It's 7 miles to Emmaus. And Jesus walks next to them. And they didn't recognize him. This is Jesus, the risen Lord. He just rose from the dead that morning, very early Sunday morning. This is very late Sunday evening. And he shows up and he's walking next to them. And they can't recognize him. And they're talking and they're talking. And Jesus goes up to them and he says, "What are you guys talking about?" Because they looked upset. It's like, "Ah, where have you been? You didn't hear about this?" And they're like, he's like, "What are you talking about?" And it's a really funny story because it's Jesus asking them to tell him what happened the last few days. And he said, "There's a prophet by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And we thought he was going to come redeem us, redeem Israel. And he was put to death. Nevertheless, people say that they saw him, that he rose from the dead, but we don't know. And Jesus, he's like, you fools, I've been telling you. And then he gave them the best Bible study ever. He spoke to them from the prophets, from Moses and the prophets, which is basically the Old Testament, pointed to where he was, and then sat with them and gave them communion. He broke bread with them. He blessed, broke, and gave it to them. The same thing we say during the institution narrative. And once he gave him communion, what happened? Their eyes were opened. They were able to recognize Christ. What happens after we take communion? Our eyes open. Open to the brokenness. Open to what needs the dark areas that need Christ in our life. That need light. So I pray that during this Holy 50, that as we celebrate, we also remember the work of the Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ in our life, and how we could prepare, participate, and protect it in our own life. And glory be to God forever. Amen.